I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is we are getting more requests for literature. We are getting more requests for fellowship. We are getting much more requests for baptisms and these type of things. And in fact, we just looked at our website statistics. The people coming to the website has more than tripled since we first came here, since my wife and I arrived. And it's doubled in just the last year. So there's more of an interest. There are people starting to maybe question why things are the way they are in the world. Maybe starting to ask questions about the faith that they're even in at this time. We just received an email today from a Jehovah's Witness, and she said something about, you know, it just didn't seem right, and now I understand what the Father's name really is and what it means, and His Son, Yahshua. So we're getting encouragement. We're seeing a lot of movement. Now, the bad news is there are fewer workers now at a time when there actually needs to be more. So what do? We cry out to Yahweh to provide, and He will provide. His promises are sure. But I have a few questions to ask you today. What category do you fit into? The positive or the negative? The effective or the ineffective? The productive or the unproductive? The futile or the fruitful? Are you working towards the coming kingdom of Yahweh, or are you working against it by not supporting it, by having made the daily decision to be inactive towards it? So in other words, are you being active towards the coming kingdom, or are you being inactive? Are you walking that way, or are you walking away from that way? Are you serving your flesh, or are you serving the Spirit of Yahweh? Are you trying to lead the Spirit, or is the Spirit leading you? These are questions that sometimes need to be asked. Few are very active. I saw this even in sales, when I was working in sales, that 20% were doing 80% of the sales, while 80% were only doing 20% of the sales. There seems to be a similar situation here. Few are very active, more are somewhat active, but many are basically inactive. They hear, they see, but there's not really a lot of action. There's a lot of inaction. Inactive in prayer, inactive in supporting the work, inactive in sharing with others. These are things that we need to be active in doing. Aren't we in a race? We're to be running, not to be walking, not to be sitting down on the sidelines, running to win. So are you active in prayer? Are you active in supporting the work? Are you active in sharing with others the word of Yahweh? Do you sometimes think that the message is directed to you personally? I mean, I've had this experience when I've been sitting and listening to preaching, and I think it's Yahweh's conviction. It's His movement within the heart, allowing us to hear even more of what is being said. And we need to take His word to heart. We need to take what's happening to heart. And we need to be active from the heart. Webster's thesaurus on the word futile basically says that it's barren of results. In sentence usage, efforts to convince him were futile. Synonyms: fruitless, ineffective, ineffectual. These are other words for futile. Unavailable, unavailing, unprevailing, unproductive, useless, vain. Related words: empty, hollow, idle, inadequate, inefficient, insufficient, unsatisfactory, and unsuccessful. Idioms: the in vain, no dice, to no avail, to no effect. Contrasted words would be effective, effectual, fruitful, advantageous, beneficial, profitable. These are things that would be for a good servant, things that are positive. If you would turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. You know, in listening to Ecclesiastes on Bible, on a Bible CD. It's actually kind of depressing. Ecclesiastes is somewhat of a depressing book, but there's encouragement, especially towards the end. Ecclesiastes 1:1-3 says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does man have in all of his work which he does under the sun?" Going on a little bit further, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 17, after considering all of this, and I think considering the flesh, these things that we can see, touch, these type of things. But he says, going on in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 17, "So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futile and striving after wind. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun, for I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool." There's another contrast. You're either wise or you're a fool. "Yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore I completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun. When there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, then he gives his legacy to one that has not labored with him. This too is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man get in all of his labor and all of his striving in which he labors under the sun? Because all his days, his task is painful and grievous. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is vanity," says the preacher. Depressing words. When your focus is on the flesh, when you look at the world and the way it is, and you know what your outcome would be if you're just living for this world. Interestingly enough, Job suffered greatly, and of course he, during the suffering, expressed something similar. Job chapter 3, starting in verse 3. "Let the day perish on which I was born, and the night which said a boy is conceived." You have to understand what he was going through. He, of course, had boils on him. He had, his family was all taken away. It was catastrophe. Probably comparable as what some are feeling in Haiti right now, having lost their family, having lost their homes, having lost and are still suffering because there's not enough food, at least not enough physical food. Job chapter 3 and verse 3. "Let the day perish in which I was born, the night which said a boy is conceived, that that day may be darkness, that not let Elohim above care for it, nor let light shine on it. Let darkness and black gloom claim it. Let a cloud settle it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize it. Let it all not rejoice among the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren. Let no joyful shout enter it. Let those curse it who curse the day, who are prepared to rouse Leviathan. Let the stars of its twilight be darkened. Let it wait for the light, but have none. And let it not see the breaking dawn, because it did not shut the opening of my mother's womb or hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not die at birth, come forth from the womb and expire?" Trouble. He had trouble on trouble. And Yahweh allowed it. Yahweh also blessed Job after it was all said and done. And we are looking for a blessing, but that blessing is not here now. That blessing is future tense. It's still to come. And it's a spiritual blessing that we're looking for. But both Job and the preacher of Ecclesiastes had thoughts of futility. But both also showed that obedience to Yahweh is the way to go. The preacher of Ecclesiastes gave insight and warnings that judgment is coming. And we know there is blessings for those who follow in the spirit of Yahweh in obedience, even now, but especially in the future. But if we're living for this life, this world, the standard of living we've become accustomed to, but are not active in the spirit of Yahweh, moving forward, doing His will, then we are not being fruitful. Not the proper kind of fruit that we are to have, the fruits of the Spirit. In thinking about today's message, I was thinking about, you know, myself and thinking how I used to be. And I was a man of the flesh. And I'm a different man today because I'm focusing on the Spirit. I'm striving to look for the coming kingdom. I'm striving to keep my eyes focused on Yahweh. I'm striving. It's not always easy. We still deal with flesh. I'm still physical. You're still physical. We have difficulties that we have to go through. But in the process of going through it, Yahweh is working with us. He's not forsaking us. He's helping us. And He's molding us. He's allowing us to see our frailties. He's allowing us to see that we are in need of Him and that we cannot rely on ourselves. Woe unto us if we're relying on ourselves. We need to focus on Yahweh. There's futility in the flesh because it is temporary, but usefulness and productivity in the Spirit because it is eternal. What did Joshua ask Peter, and what did he tell him to do? What is Joshua telling us to do? If you would turn to John chapter 21, John chapter 21, the New Testament, starting there in verse 15. I looked in the Aramaic because I was not quite in agreement with what was being said here, and I found that this Hebrew Aramaic version actually brought this out a little bit more clearer. But I'll just replace the words that I found there here. John 21, verse 15. So, when they had finished breakfast, Joshua said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, who had his attention, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, master, you know that I love you. He said to him, this is the word that should be there, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, master, you know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, master, you know all things. You know that I love you. Joshua said to him, feed my sheep. Now, there's a lot of good being done in the world as far as helping, like in Haiti, for example. There's people that are, they were suffering beforehand, and now they're suffering even more. And people have been donating and sending over supplies, physical supplies. That's a need, for sure. And the people are getting food sent to them. But is this what Joshua is talking about? What do tithes and offerings do? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Malachi 3 and verse 10. I was talking to someone the other day and they said, you know, a lot of people don't understand. When they look at the Old Testament, they need to think physical. When they look at the New Testament, they need to think spiritual. And I think there's truth in what he said. But we're still physical. We still have to abide by physical laws that are good for us, like, you know, eating properly, these type of things. We meet physically here and spiritually. I think there's a spiritual sense, of course, to this. But, we need to understand that there's the physical and then there is also the spiritual. Malachi 3 and verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Well, in the Old Testament, this definitely was talking about physical food, also a physical tithe. Today, we look at it as also a physical tithe, not necessarily of produce, but of increase, which was the instruction of the tithe, to bring in the increase. So we have increases today of monetary means and these type of things, and it goes towards physical food? No. Spiritual food. And the warehouse here is full of spiritual food. Someone called the other day and was asking, "Oh, do you have like mini studies and or you know studies booklets?" I said, "Yeah," and I said that we have about 80. And there was silence. It's like, did I hear him right? Did he just say 80? And that's not to brag. It's just to show where our focus is. And we do understand there are physical needs, but we understand that really in the New Testament and in this day, we really need to be focused, I think, a little bit more on the spiritual. And when it comes to having food to feed the sheep, which Yahshua told Peter to do and tells us today, you know, because we are his disciples, if we're indeed wanting to follow and do as he tells us, that food is needed. It's needed for healing. It's needed to help people to understand what they should be doing and how they should be doing it. It's to help them to draw closer to Yahweh through Yahshua. We can help in different ways, of course, in prayer, in lending a hand in different areas of the work, in tithes and offering, which is actually our duty and an opportunity. These things are not a service of futility, but of productivity which produces good fruit. Now, what if we don't continue doing good? If we sit down and stop doing the things that we're supposed to do, we get tired of the race, so we slow down. We don't really necessarily try to win. We just kind of, you know, well, Yahweh's going to work things out. I'll let him do that. Well, you know, we have to remember that we are responsible for what we've been given. And if we've been given much, which I do believe we've been given much, then much is required from us. But if we sit down and stop doing the things that we're supposed to do, and yet Yahshua keeps on walking or running and reaching out and moving forward, where will we end up? In futility. Why? Because we put the flesh before the spirit. Revelation 3, verse 15. Revelation 3, verses 15 through 16. What did Yahshua tell this one assembly of the seven that were mentioned? There were more than seven, but seven were kind of focused on, evidently major ones. Revelation 3:15. Yahshua speaking, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. You're kind of somewhere in between. Get up, do something. Don't just sit there." Basically what he's saying. He says, "I wish you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." In other words, Yahshua is saying, "I'm not going to stick around with you anymore. I'm moving on without you." You know, if this is the life that we have only, then it is futile. But we know that there's a life coming. And we partake of that life even now in the Spirit. But there's much more coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the, I guess we call it the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 17. Paul himself says, "If we have hoped in Messiah in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep." Or the first fruit of those who are asleep. So we know that there is going to be a resurrection, that there are going to be raised a number of spirit beings to be reigning with Yahshua in the coming kingdom. We desire to be there in the spiritual sense. But we know that there's also going to be physical people. And that the laws that are being expressed now, taught now, are going to be laws that are going to be expressed and taught in the coming kingdom. People are going to go to Mount Zion so that they can hear about the path that they are to be walking and to hear about the law that they should be hearing and doing. It's not just hearing, it's actually doing. We're to live productive, service-filled lives for the Great Commission of teaching all nations, feeding them with sound doctrine, following Yahshua and doing His will. We are to be the bride who has made herself ready by living a life of service to Yahweh through Yahshua. We will be transformed into spirit beings if we continue in this service. But as with all races, people get tired. You know, things don't necessarily work out the way they thought they should work out. And they slow down, they kind of get sidetracked. Other things take them away from what really matters. And Satan is certainly involved in this because he knows who are following Yahweh. And I think he's after those that are making strides, that are running well. But we're not to slow down. We're not to deviate. We're to stay on the straight and narrow path. And we're to strive to overcome. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, starting in verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. What a joyful day that will be. But it's still future. It's not here yet. But it's something that we're looking forward to. It's something that we're preparing for. It's something that we're calling out to others to prepare for as well. We're sharing the good news of the Messiah, His true name, His true ways, which are His Father's ways. And people want to say things like, well, isn't this Jewish? Are you really supposed to eat clean foods? The Sabbath stuff, is that really on the seventh day? It's good that they're asking questions. It's even better when they get into the race and start running. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. What might those be? So what do we do to become ready? First and foremost, we obey Yahweh. We look towards Him. We keep Him in focus. We feed the flock. We make disciples of all nations as best as we can. We follow Yahshua and stay in that spirit. We grow in Him and in the things of the Spirit because we've been given a pearl of great price. 2 Peter chapter 1. Things that we need to keep in mind to and remember so that we can keep actively seeking to do these things. Because, yes, we have a heart to obey, but we also have to think and put these things into action from the heart. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. For now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, righteousness, and in your righteousness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Master, Yahshua the Messiah. And we understand what that true knowledge is, I do believe, because Yahweh has allowed us to see it and to understand that Yahshua walked in the Father's will. He didn't sin. He didn't disobediently go away and do His own thing, living in the flesh. Yes, He was in the flesh. He had to live, and He was tempted in all areas, but without sin. And so we have someone with us that is helping us to overcome and to be strengthened. And in weakness, He is our strength. We can readily see that we're not able to do much of anything without his help. But there's a few workers here that, and a few workers that are co-workers with us, joining up, running the race, trying to get the word out and share it with others so that they can also join in the race and move forward toward the kingdom, the coming kingdom. And we need to keep our eyes on that because, and also Yahweh's righteousness because, you know, there's some tough times ahead. There's no question about it. But if we keep things in perspective, we can set our goals appropriately and have things in our mind and in our heart that will help us. We need to study. We need to pray. We need to actively be participants in the faith. And it is faith. We have faith in Yahshua, but we also are to be obedient to the commandments we find Yahweh telling us to do. And it's such a silly thing, I think, for people to say, oh, we don't have to, we can't even do those old commandments and stuff like that. And yet that's the way of life that we are to be living right now. Closing scripture, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Whether good news or bad news, we need to keep the coming kingdom in focus. We need to keep Yahweh's righteousness in focus. We need to be implementing and following the things we find in Scripture to be true. We need to follow the lead of the Spirit that will guide us into the coming kingdom. It's not going to sidetrack us and let us go into the ditch. That's where false teachers end up leading people. We don't want to do that. We want to follow Yahweh's word. In fact, Yahshua said that we're to live by every word that proceeds out of Yahweh's mouth. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. So what can we do? There needs to be more workers. And he, speaking of Yahshua, was saying to them, as the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the master of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The harvest is ripe. More people are understanding more truth these days than I think we've seen in quite a while. It's encouraging. But at the same time, it's a little disheartening because we don't see as many helping as we would like. But it's all in Yahweh's hands. He will not forsake us, and we can trust in him. And he's going to see us through any difficulties that we have. May Yahweh bless you.